Good morning to everyone. Love you guys. It's great to see you. Great to be here. And you know, we just are so thankful and grateful for all of those that serve. Of course, on Memorial Weekend, as we think about those that have given their lives for the freedom of our country and for the safety of our country. And so this morning, we just we want to pray for just their families that are left behind. We want to pray for their sacrifice that they've made, that of course it's not done in vain, but that we continue to stand strong as a nation, and we continue to fight for that freedom as well. You know, we want to pray for the safety of our country, and of course praying for the Lord to just bring healing concerning this virus, and just, you know, stamping it out and wiping it out. And that is certainly our prayer this morning. We are so happy that you are here today with us. We do have, a couple just announcements to make. I want to encourage you guys to, give as you leave today, or maybe you've already done as you come in, just to let you guys know that there are the offering boxes, trash cans, that you can drop in your offering as you leave, and we're going to pray for that, and pray for our leadership. Pray for myself and our leadership as we navigate next steps to opening the church. And if you guys saw the video that I put out, of course, with President Trump's declaration to open the churches, and some churches this morning are being opened. And of course, there's a lot of different opinions, and there's a lot of controversy, and there's different things going on legally. And so we're just navigating that today. Right after service, we're going to be having a meeting with our leaders just to kind of talk about next steps. And so, we're continuing to move forward. And I encourage you guys to just, stay posted, be aware what's going on, as announcements will be coming out of what, we're going to be doing. Our hope is to open the church next week. Of course, it's going to be in a very modified way, with a bunch of social distancing and a lot of things we need to put. But we're continuing to seek the Lord. We're continuing to watch what's going on, and we'll make that decision and let you guys know what exactly is taking place. Well, let's pray, and we'll be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 this morning. And so, Father, we do just come to you, and Lord, we want to pray for our country. God, we thank you for those that have sacrificed, the ultimate sacrifice for this country, God, have given, Lord, of themselves. We pray, Lord, right now for their families. We thank you for this incredible, incredible country, the incredible freedoms that we have, Lord. We are the leaders of the world in the freedoms of religion, the freedoms of Lord, worship. And God, we pray that that would, Lord, be sustained. And we pray you would, God, just keep us safe as we do that. Give us wisdom, Lord. Of course, just thinking about those that have fought for our country, those that have died for our country. They fought for our freedoms, but they also fought for our safety. They fought that we would remain safe. And Lord, though it's not an army, Lord, on our borders, but it's this virus, Father, that is coming to attack, Lord, the church. We pray right now that you would, of course, coming to attack, Lord, the world and everyone, church, believers and unbelievers alike. But we pray, God, that you would protect, Lord, your church. We pray you would protect the world, Father. We pray that you would use this for us to be able to shine as a light in the midst of darkness, that you would use us to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ in just a very powerful, powerful way. And so we just pray, God, for your healing touch to just be, Lord, put upon this land, upon, Lord, not just our country, but the world, Father. I want to pray, Lord, this morning for the missionaries that have been greatly affected in their work. Lord, as we have a lot of freedoms here in this country and able to kind of navigate and do things a little bit different, Lord, I pray for those that are serving abroad. that you, God, would just be with them, that you would strengthen them, and that they, Father, would just have wisdom to navigate, and Lord, protect them. God, we do believe this is a massive spiritual attack. And God, we know you're sovereign and we know you're in control. But we also know, Lord, that we are to battle. And so help us as we battle. And God, give us wisdom and bind the enemy, we pray. And Lord, I pray that the church, Lord, buildings would be open again for, Lord, congregational worship. And that you would give each church, Lord, wisdom of how to navigate battle. Lord, we pray you to open your word this morning. That you would, Lord, really speak, Father, to us from your word. And we just thank you and praise you. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. So excited to get into the word with you guys. And it is, again, such a joy to see your faces, even though it's through your windshields. It's great. And those of you online this morning, I can't see your faces, but we certainly miss each and every one of you. Love you so much. And pray for God's just strength and health in our lives. Well, 1 Thessalonians, we've been looking at really the theme of the book. The theme of the book has been the gospel. The whole book is about the gospel. And Paul comes to Thessalonica. And as he comes there, he brings the gospel of Jesus Christ for the first time. Of course, this is the city that it was said that those that have turned the world upside down have come here too. Of course, that was the critics of the faith. You know, they're like, these guys that have been in Philippi, that were arrested there, imprisoned, and ultimately kicked out. These guys that have been going around through the regions of Galatia and causing all this controversy have come here too. But I think it's amazing to think about what is said of the unbelievers, that those that have turned the world upside down have come here too. That was the testimony of those that were, unbelievers. Now, I think it's important for us to realize, and in the times we live right now, everyone has a different opinion. Everyone sees maybe the same event taking place, and they interpret it in different ways. We would see it as that these are the men that have turned the world right side up. The world sees it as controversy, as those that are disrupting things. But, you know, this world needs a disruption. It needs to be, interrupted of what it's doing with the gospel. Lives need a disruption in their lives. People need that. And it's the gospel of Jesus Christ that interrupts people's lives. And it changes people. And, I mean, we see this here in 1 Thessalonians so powerfully. You know, Paul said there, that in chapter 1, verse 8, he says, for the word of the Lord sounded forth not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith towards God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we have to you, and how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. And so, you know, Paul talks about this glorious experience and the testimony of the church of Thessalonica, that they were literally going out. Those that have turned the world upside down have come here. And now those that are in Thessalonica, as they've grown a little bit in their faith, they're going out and they're sharing the word of God with the world around them. It is an absolute amazing, amazing work that the gospel does, not only in a life, but in an absolute city, in a region, in a county. God wants to bring revival. My prayer, and I think our prayer, is that the Lord would bring revival through the things that we're going through, the things we're experiencing right now as a nation, as a world, that God would use these circumstances to awaken people. But you know, what we need is boldness. The title of the message this morning is Bold But Gentle. Bold But Gentle. Because that's what we see here. Well, let's jump into it. In chapter 2, he goes on then to say, "For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. But even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict." The Apostle Paul here is declaring the boldness that they had. The boldness that they had in Christ. And you know, if I was to break down verses 1 through 12 into three kind of points, I would do it this morning. And I don't know if we'll make it all the way through. I'm going to try to keep our time shorter. So just kind of wherever we are, we're going to stop. But if we look at this, verses 1 through 12, if we're to break it down, I would break it down into just a summary sentence. And from that sentence, then I would draw out three points. It simply would be this, quote, "We were bold in our God with the gentleness of a mother and the strength of a father." And we'll see that. In verses 1 through 6, we see here that we were bold in our God. Again, if I'm just going to break that sentence down, I'm basically taking the sentence and making three points out of it. The first point would be, we are bold in our God. The second point would be, with the gentleness of a mother. And the third point would be, and the strength of a father. Again, we were bold in our God with the gentleness of a mother and the strength of a father. Well, let's jump into the first point here, the first six verses here, this concept of we were bold in our God. We were bold in our God. I love that phrase. And of course, we draw it right there from verse 2 where he says, "As you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict." And this is what we see. And if you go back in the book of Acts and you look at Acts chapter 17, when the apostle Paul and Silas and Timothy came in to Thessalonica, they came in there with boldness. They had just left Philippi, Acts chapter 16. They had been beaten unlawfully in Philippi. They had then been put into prison. Of course, that's where they were worshiping the Lord at midnight in the prison, and an earthquake happened and the prison doors were open. The chains fell off and the jailer was going to kill himself. And right before the jailer was going to kill himself, because he thought he lost all of his prisoners and his sentence would be their sentence, so he was certainly going to die, he says, "I'm going to finish it now." Paul says, "We're all here." And he says to them, what must I do to be saved? I mean, I want to know the God you guys serve. Here worshiping the Lord after being beaten. And it actually says that the jailer gets saved and he washes the wounds of the apostles. And there, his whole family comes to Christ and is baptized. It's a beautiful, beautiful story, but Paul is coming from that experience, coming then to Thessalonica, and once again, he is being persecuted, only spending three Sabbaths in Thessalonica from the text in Acts. And so the boldness they had was a boldness not in the gospel necessarily. It wasn't a boldness in their own confidence. This is important. Their boldness was in God. Their confidence, and the word boldness is a word that is translated in the Bible, both boldness, and it's also the same word translated confidence. What was their confidence? What is your confidence? And we're going to kind of define from the text this morning what boldness really actually is. Is boldness just being really loud? Is boldness being extreme? What is boldness? You see, the boldness that they had was a boldness before the gospel. It was a boldness in God. In who he is. Are you bold today in God? Today, do you have confidence that God right now, in your life today, is in control? And because of that, you want to share the message of God. Because of your boldness in God, you want to be bold with the gospel. You want to speak no matter what's going on, no matter if it's during conflict, no matter if it's in times of difficulty, we're going to be bold in God. God hasn't changed because circumstances have changed. Notice that and listen to what he says. For you know, verse 1, for you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. For even after we suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, that phrase, by the way, comes up 6 times in these 12 verses, the idea of knowing, or you're a witness, understanding, or he says, remember. He's calling upon them to remember their boldness they had when they came. You remember the circumstances. You remember what was going on. You know, some time has gone by since they've no longer been there in Thessalonica. You know, people say stuff. Oh, the apostles, they fled. They don't care about you. They've left. Paul wants to remind them of their boldness that they had when they came. But that boldness they had wasn't because it was easy. It wasn't because the situation that they found themselves experiencing was simple, but their boldness was found in the person of God himself. And I want us to really reflect this morning of what is our boldness? Where is our boldness? Boldness to approach the throne of God. Of course, that word is used when it speaks in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, that we enter in boldly to the throne of grace, that we can come boldly by the blood of Jesus to the presence of God. Our access to God is the idea of boldness. That boldness is built upon Jesus Christ. That boldness is built upon God. Listen, you might not be a bold person. You might be a very shy person. You might be by nature an introvert. You might not like to speak. And you know, many people don't believe me, but that's who I was before I came to Christ. And still very much like that. But what you do see in me that is outgoing, what people see in me that is bold, is because of my faith and my understanding and my confidence in God. Do you know God like that? Because listen, I can be bold today. You can be bold today because you know the creator of the universe. Because he is indeed on the throne. Because he indeed is the sovereign, risen God. We can be bold. I mean, can you find boldness, confidence, courage, strength if your focus, if your eyes are fixed upon the Lord? That's where their boldness lies. It was in him alone. And Paul says here in verse 2, he says, we are bold in God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. The word conflict here is the word in the Greek where we get our English word to agonize. Agonizo in the Greek, it's the word to agonize. It speaks of, there's a literal agony in our soul. So it's in the midst of an agonizing, we are bold. Again, it's not because everything's easy. You know, it's very easy for me to be bold this morning with you guys, with the Word of God. I mean, we're in church. I know this looks a little different, but we're in church. This is pretty awesome, by the way. I always wanted an outdoor amphitheater. Well, I guess this is the closest we're going to get to it. But, you know, it's easy for me to speak boldly. You guys all believe. We're here. We got Bibles open. This is easy. But how easy is it to be bold when there's enemies lurking around, when there's conflict going on, when there's an agonizing happening, when you find yourself in a situation where you have to confront an issue and you don't want to do it and you need boldness. This is what Paul is referring to. And he tells them, listen, our boldness, and here's a little definition of boldness. Our boldness is built upon, now listen to this, our boldness is built upon God, and God is pure. God is holy. God is right. In him there is no error. In him there is no deceit. And therefore, we come confidently to you with truth. You see, it's easy for me to be bold when I know that it's truth. It's truth that I'm bringing. It's not my ideas. It's not my precepts. It's not my truth. It's his. You know, I'm not really bold. In fact, I have a hard time, you know, making emphatic statements when they're just people's ideas. Anyone that knows me, I'm like, okay, where's the documentation for that fact? You know, I'm very careful, certainly as a preacher, I'm very careful to say stuff that I can't back up. Just kind of, well, I heard another preacher say this about, you know, I don't do that. Very, very timid to do that. But when it comes to the Word of God, it's written, it's here, it's who He is. Man, I am as bold as a lion because my boldness is in God. Now listen here what Paul says in verse 3. He says, "For our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit." So he's saying, listen, and here's a little definition of some boldness. That when you and I are bold in God, it's because what we have to say is true. See, that's what he's saying. What you and I have to say is true. And I believe that that the Word of God is true 100%. There's no question. So there's no hesitation. There's no timidity in me. No, I believe this is true. And when we know something to be true, we are able to be bold in the way we speak forth that truth. I love what he says. He uses three words really just simply to say that God is holy, that God is pure, that the gospel is true. There's no error in it. It doesn't come with uncleanness. The root word of uncleanness here is kind of like the word for dirt. Okay? It's pure. That's what he's saying, that the Word of God came in purity. It didn't come in impurity. There's no deceit in it. There's no trickery going on. There's no alternative motive to give to you the Word of God, to give to you the gospel. There's no alternative motive, but simply to give you the truth. We're not gaining anything. That's what he's saying. We're not gaining anything. We're not getting anything from it, but we are giving it in truth. Verse 4, he says, "But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts." He says here that we've been approved by God. Listen, if you're a Christian today and you're going to hold the Word of God high in your life and you're going to give people not your word, but God's word, you have reason to be bold because you have been approved by God to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ. I want you to think about that just for a minute. Let that just set in. God has said, "I approve this message. I approve this message. I approve that you, that I, are ambassadors of Jesus Christ." Will you lift up the Word of God? Will you give people the Word of God? Listen, this is where boldness comes from. Because I've been entrusted by God with the message of the gospel. Of course, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18, you can start at 17 through 21, tell us that we are ambassadors of Christ as though God was in us, pleading with the world to be reconciled to God on behalf of what Christ Jesus has done. Man, it's so awesome to have that confidence, to have that strength in our hearts, to have that boldness in us to be able to go forth with the gospel. We've been approved. God has set his anointing upon us because we've been entrusted. But we don't speak to please man. Notice that's what he's saying here. He says, we don't speak. Even so we speak not as men pleasers, but God who tests our hearts. We stand before God. And listen, this is where that boldness comes in. Man, I'm bold in God. Don't miss that phrase. bold in God, because he's entrusted me and you with the gospel message. It's ours. It's beautiful. Listen to what he's declared here. It's not something I'm saying so you'll like me. And that's where your boldness will fall apart, if you're only bold because people want to hear what you have to say. But what about when they don't want to hear what you have to say? Are you speaking on behalf of you? Are you an ambassador of another? Are you indeed the ambassador of Jesus Christ? And I pray that that is indeed what you and I see ourselves as. He says, for neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know. Again, he's calling on their knowledge of what has been going on. He says, as you know, nor a cloak for covetousness, God is witness. Listen, God is our witness. God is the one that testifies of our mission, of our boldness, of our truth speaking, that we're not doing this to please man. Listen, being a man pleaser, trying to live your life as a man pleaser, is very disappointing. In fact, you know, I'm thinking right now about this a lot, because there is no possible way for myself, the pastors, the leaders of our church right now to please everyone in the church, the decisions we make. Okay, we're going to open the church. We're going to have people like, yeah, let's go. We're going to have others like, no, don't do it. How are we going to please everyone? We can't. That's just the raw reality. It's not possible. We're not capable. What we do need to do, and we need to be bold in it, is we need to please God. We need to seek God. We need to ask God, what do you want us to do? And I've told people, you need to do that for your own family as well. You need to seek God and you need to ask God, what's the right thing? Lord, what do you want from me? What do you want me to do in this situation? And it's so important for us to do that. He says here, verse 6, nor did we seek glory from man, either from you or others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. Listen, we didn't seek glory from man. We didn't seek glory from man from you or from others. But we could have made demands as apostles of Jesus, but we didn't do that. And then he turns here to our second point this morning, which is taken from our kind of summary phrase with the gentleness of a mother. Listen to what he says. Verses 7 through 10 would be point number 2, with the gentleness of a mother. So again, the point number 1 is we were bold in God. Number 2, with the gentleness of a mother. But we were gentle, verse 7, among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you have become dear to us. And you just think about a mother here. And listen to what he says. He says in verse 7, but we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. We were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. Ready to give up our lives. And I think of a mother, and of course we titled the message this morning, Bold But Gentle. Bold But Gentle. How true this is. Okay, so we're going to be as bold as a lion. We're going to be confident. We're going to speak. We're not going to please man. We're going to please God. We're going to do all of these things, right? But wait a second. We're not just going to roll over people in the name of God, you know, and just have no compassion. Paul says this. He says, listen, we were bold in our God, but we did it like a mother with her nursing child. Let me just say this. Mothers are bold. Some of the boldest people on the planet Earth. And I don't just mean women. I mean a mother. Mothers are bold with their kids. they don't just get run over by their kids. Not my mother. My mom was as bold as a lion, but so compassionate. You think about a nursing mom. Do you think that she's gonna allow something to harm or bring danger to her infant? No, she's gonna be as bold as a lion, a protector. And this is beautiful. But the gentleness, the tenderness, and the self-sacrifice that she gives to those children is a perfect picture of how we are to handle and treat people as we're sharing the gospel, as we're making disciples of Jesus Christ. See, that's here what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, listen, we were bold, but gentle. And I think of that. And just how they serve and lay down their lives. Look at what he says here. He says in verse 8, so affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to implore to you, to impart to you, not only the gospel of God, but our own lives also, because you became dear to us. For you remember, verse 9, brethren, our labor and toil, for laboring night and day, that we might not be a burden to anyone. We preach to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved among ourselves, behaved ourselves among you who believe. Now think about a mother. He says here, remember not only in verse 8, our affectionate longing for you, that we're willing to impart our lives to you because you're dear to us. Think about a mom, how she gives. And then look at verse 9. He says, remember our labor and toil, laboring night and day. Now, what he's referring to here is that they didn't burden the church with anything financially. They worked hard so that they would bring the gospel free of charge. Again, this is in the context of evangelism. He's saying, when I came to you, when I evangelized, we weren't a burden to anyone. We were willing to give our lives. We didn't come to get, we came to give. That is the gospel. And think about a mother. Think about a mother in the middle of the night when that baby's crying and screaming, right? And where's the mother? The mother is giving her life. Do you think that mother, and I'm sure there's times they have some attitude issues, but do you think that mother is like, man, I'm sick of this kid? I mean, wouldn't that kid just be quiet? I mean, get rid of that kid. No, maybe a babysitter would feel like that. You know, at 2 a.m. screaming. But a mother, because of the love of a mother, because of the gentleness, because of the longing affection in a mother, listen, the labor and toil that they give for those children is one that's done out of joy. It's one that's done out of sheer pleasure. And of course, that doesn't mean they're not tired. And you moms can say an amen to that. But they never regret it. You know, Debbie and I just married off our son, Joel. Hey, Joel, back from his honeymoon. It's good to have him home. I just saw him for the first time. Yeah, you know, we weren't able to go to his wedding. I mean, let's celebrate, you know, Joel and Tori. Exciting stuff, amen. You know, a lot of labor and toil went into that boy. A lot of labor and toil. And just to think about, you know, just how joyful we are. Not one minute of it with all of our kids, right? Do we go, man, I wish we wouldn't have sacrificed. You know, now, and those of you that have been here, you know what I'm talking about. You're like, he's leaving us. He's leaving. That was really emotional for me. I think it's the first time Joel saw me really cry in his life. I'm not a crier, but you know, it's worth it all, isn't it? It's worth it all. And that's how we need to be, so we can be bold, but we can be gentle. And then lastly, just verses 11 and 12, we come to the point number 3, which is, and the strength of a father. So the sentence would read, we are bold in our God. That's our first point. Second point, with the gentleness of a mother. Third point, and with the strength of a father. Listen to what he says, verses 11 and 12. As you know, again, he says, you guys know this, you saw this, you experienced this, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children, that you would have a walk worthy of God who called you into his own kingdom and glory. Listen, Paul says this, we were bold in our God, but we, in our boldness, we had the gentleness of a mother with her nursing child, but we also had the strength of a father. I think of the difference between my wife and I in raising our kids, and I'm sure my kids would agree. Listen, who brings the exhortation? I mean, now when the kitchen is a mess, you must know in our household, with our grown-up kids, we're all on a family text, and pictures start flying from mom of all of the dishes, and she begins to exhort. Okay, there are times that mom exhorts, but let me say this, overall, the exhortations that have happened in our home is from father. It's from me. I mean, I'm to a default sometimes, always exhorting. I always have a charge to give. You know, God gave me three boys and one girl. And that, there's a reason. I don't think four girls could handle me. Now, my girl, she's pretty tough. She's had to be. First of all, she's got three brothers. And there is the need to make those young boys men. And it takes strength. And it takes exhortation. And it takes imploring. That's the word charge. To implore, to charge, to do it with comforting them. Not, you know, it's not beating them all with a rod all the time. But it's bringing forth truth. It's the word exhortation is a beautiful word. It means to come alongside and to call someone to do something with you. It isn't to yell from the back and say, go do this. It's, hey, let's go. You know, I made it a real goal in my parenting with my boys to teach them how to work hard outside. And that was hard work for me. I could have done the job a lot faster without them in the way. But I wanted to make them strong men. I wanted to teach them. I wanted to teach them how to work. I want to teach them how to be responsible. I want to teach them how to be good leaders. I want to teach them integrity and character. And so those things take exhortation. Yes, and you comfort, as he says here, that we do this. He says, with exhortation and comfort and charging every one of you as a father does his own children. And so when you think about being bold, it means being confident. Confident in God. Confident in who he is. But doing it, and at times it's needed, gentle like a nursing mother with her infant. Caring. Affectionately longing. Caring for them. Giving their own lives. Toiling. And then with this, there's that strength, the steady hand. Not living by emotions, but living by truth, the steady hand of the exhorting, comforting, charging, imploring father, as he does with his own children. You see, it's in the very family that we see a picture of what we're to be as we reach the world. It's in the very unity God has built as a man and a woman, as parents, in that boldness, in that teamwork, that we are to be as individuals, as Christians, under the anointing of God. For this goal, for this purpose, verse 12, that you might have a walk worthy of God who called you into his own kingdom and glory. The word worthy here is the word for equal. That your walk would equal who God is. Because the most important thing for us as a witness of Jesus Christ is to be an example. Is to be an example to the world of who God is. And so our boldness is found in his truth, in his character, in who he is. Our confidence is there. Our gentleness is from him because he's gentle, like a nursing mother. Our strength is found in integrity, in truth, in honesty, in faithfulness, because we find that in who he is. And Paul says, I've given you all of these things that you would grow up as children into men and women. I'm so proud of my adult children that are rising to adulthood, that are taking the challenges of life. And I sit back and it brings me joy. And so the Father in heaven, the same thing, when he watches us grow and he watches us become what we're to be, to have a walk worthy of the Lord, to have a walk that is worthy of God who called us into his kingdom and his glory. Don't forget this, church. You and I have been called into God's kingdom. We're not of this world. Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. If it was, my servants would fight. But my kingdom is from heaven. Jesus taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So my life, if it's going to walk worthy, needs to match his kingdom. My prayer is, God, what's happening in your kingdom in heaven? Because you're saying, not my kingdom come, but your kingdom. Not my will be done, but your will be done. As it is in heaven, so it be on earth. Whatever decision you're making, whatever situation you find yourself facing today, find the truth in the boldness of the gospel, the boldness of God. Possessing the gentleness of a nursing mother and the strength of a father, bringing forth truth that our lives would bring glory. And that's the last phrase there, glory to his name. If today you haven't made a commitment to Jesus Christ, I want to call on you to do that. Jesus came to this earth. He came to die for your sin and for my sin so that you might have salvation in his name. Today, do you have that? Do you have a confidence, a boldness in God today that if you died, you'd be accepted in heaven? You'd be received not on your own works, not on your own merits, but on Jesus Christ and him alone. And if today you haven't made that decision, we want to invite you to do that. We want to ask that you would receive Jesus Christ into your life. It's your personal Lord and Savior. He's alive. He's real. And he wants to change you. And so we would encourage you to do that. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we pray that today you wouldn't leave this place, or if you're viewing online, that you wouldn't miss this opportunity to truly be saved and to come into that right relationship with Jesus Christ. Also, maybe you're a believer today and you're like, yeah, I'm not confident. I'm not strong. I'm not doing these things. I'm not seeing this in my life. Today's the day for the Lord to do that work in you. And so I just pray that you'd respond to God's word here this morning. Well, we're going to pray and close, and we're going to close with one song today, but before we do that, I'm going to invite those that would like to receive Jesus Christ or rededicate their lives to him as their personal Lord and Savior to just pray this prayer with me. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I'm going to pray a little slow so you can pray out loud and you can, right where you are, receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Father, we ask for those that are out there today that don't know you, that you would open their hearts to you. And we pray that you would be glorified in your word today, through your word today, and you would save them. And so if you're out there this morning, I want you to pray this prayer with me if you do indeed want to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Dear Jesus, I ask that you would save me from my sins. I confess that I'm a sinner. And I'm asking that you would cleanse me of those sins. I ask that you would come into my life and be my Lord and be my Savior. I ask that you would help me to turn from my sins and turn to you. I ask that you would give me understanding to your word and help me to grow in my faith. I put my faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. I don't trust in myself, but I trust in Your grace and Your grace alone for salvation today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.